Hello and welcome to The Huddle. Liam Santamaria back with you. A tick over a week since the Sydney Kings hoisted the championship trophy. An epic championship series went the distance with the New Zealand Breakers, and the Kings, too good in the end, back-to-back champs. One of the heroes of that win is going to join us on the show today, Angus Glover. Fresh off signing a new deal with the Sydney Kings and becoming a back-to-back champion. So sit back, relax. Up next, Angus Glover. Gus, great to see you, mate. Congratulations on all fronts, mate. How you feeling?
Thanks, mate. Yeah, feeling pretty good. Feeling better than last week, that's for sure. Yeah, obviously super excited to be back in Sydney.
Awesome, man. Let's start right there. That's the fresh news, hot off the press. New multi-year deal. Talk us through it.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty easy option for me. Just the faith the club's shown me since my time in the club. Obviously, we thought my career was done back up in Cairns during that COVID year. And fast forward now, two-time champ. And all the resources that they've thrown at me, especially that first year. And obviously continued to get better last year and this year. And then also the vision that the club's taking going forward as well. I wanted to be a part of that for sure.
Nice. The head honcho, Paul Smith, said the other day, wanted you to be a king for life. The price just immediately went up, right, when he said that, surely?
Yeah, for sure. Me and Smith obviously have a pretty good connection. Just happy to be here for another two. And if that can be longer, then great, for sure.
Awesome. Hey, you said the words yourself just a moment ago. Two-time champion. How does that sound and feel?
Yeah, not going to lie. Probably still hasn't fully sunk in yet, but definitely reflecting probably over this next week or so, and gathering my thoughts and everything like that. It's been a chaotic week. Obviously, we're celebrating and just enjoying everyone's company before we all go our separate ways in the off season. But it's really really cool to obviously win one, but to go back to back, as we all know, is pretty rare. So really, really cool. Just soaking it in, that's for sure.
To have that kind of success, right? To like become a two-time champion and have that sort of championship success for some players means certain things, right? If you're an import, you come in and that's great. You've had a good time in Australia and then you move on to sort of the next thing. But for someone like you, someone like me, you know, like I didn't get that, but we both grew up as little kids watching this league. You know, our hero, my heroes were Andrew Gaze, and your heroes were Glenn Saville and Matt Campbell and these type of guys. So to go from there, that little kid, to now kind of writing your own history in the record books, I imagine it feels a little bit extra special.
Yeah, for sure. Like what you said, we grew up watching the league, and I think a pretty cool thing is we've watched it grow into what it is now. You've obviously been around longer than me, so you've obviously seen it at a high point before and then seeing it dip off a bit and then back to where it is now. So obviously I've heard stories about what it was like when it was booming in the 90s and everything. But for me personally, seeing it grow into what it's become and to be a part of that, it's really cool. And to say we're at the top of the mountain whilst it is where it is pretty cool as well. But I think it's going to continue to grow. You saw record crowds throughout the year, a Christmas Day game, record crowds throughout the grand final series. Basketball's in a really good spot right now, and I think it's really going to continue to grow.
For sure. Hey, you spoke about it being a hectic week. Let's go back to the kind of the moment when that hectic week started, which was when the buzzer sounded and you guys celebrated the fact that you were back atop that mountain. Talk me through your memories of those moments, the celebrations with your teammates, your family, what took place in the locker room, the shoey and the like, and the reception from the Kings faithful, you know, when you guys went down the escalators and got to celebrate that moment with them.
Yeah, I mean, just to hear the roar, obviously, once the siren went, pretty cool. And I thought it was pretty surreal that the first person I hugged was Zave. being an Elora junior with myself and growing up together. We were injured in my first year in Sydney together. So we've been through the walls a fair bit. And obviously to send him off that way, and for me to be that guy that was the first one there to him was something I'll always remember for sure. And then obviously swearing on national television as well was a highlight to a lot of my friends. Obviously the fans were amazing. That 18,000 for game 3 and 5, but in particular game 5, the roof was elevated. And to see pretty much everyone stay whilst we lifted that trophy, I'll never forget. Just seeing everyone sit in the crowd stand and that was really, really cool. And then obviously we get to see Smithy come in his King Gong boxing suit, whatever it is, in the locker room. And obviously we all, I think it's on a couple of the guys' Instagrams, but we sing our song and pop some champagne. Chase just talking back on the year and how much of a grind it was for us. It was a different year to last year, where we kind of built into the season and towards the end, whereas this year we were at the top for majority of the year and was so much more of a grind. We were hunted last year. Just felt like we're not cruising, but we're just peaking at the right point, whereas we dipped a bit at the end of this year, so we had to find ourselves again, really. So he just spoke about all that kind of stuff. And then I think everyone knows I like a shoey. I did one of those, and Chase and I at the start of the year had a little bet that if we went back to back, that Chase would have to do a shoey out of my shoe as well. I'm sure he's thanking me for that. Did that. And then obviously, like you said, we walked down the escalators at QDOS in front of a lot of Kings fans. That's something that's always going to stick with me, just the roar everyone got and the roar I got. I feel like I've come a long way over the years, and never in my wildest dreams I'd think I'd win one championship, let alone back-to-back. Just hearing those fans roar as you're coming down the escalator is something I'm always going to sit with me. And having my family there, my extended family, my partner Kira, meant a lot to me. And last year, even though it was great we won, I didn't have Kira there as she was back in Melbourne already with MBL1. And so, this one meant obviously more to me having her here. And it was pretty special.
They absolutely love you, the Kings fans. How does it feel being a fan favorite?
It's pretty cool. Words can't really describe, really words can't describe what it's like, to be honest. Every time you run out, there's a roar to your name, and the amount of people come up to me throughout the season and say what they want to say to me is pretty cool to hear. I just like fighting for my team, and I think fans respect that, and I'm willing to give whatever I've got out there. And people saw what I was like in game 5. I think I gain a lot of fans' respect just because I like fighting for my group.
Yeah, and this was the case before game 5, before what happened in that situation. I think it was game 3, when myself and the other commentators, we walked out of the arena, Kudos Bank. It was a while after the game had finished, and there were all those fans at the hanging over the edge of the multi-level car park out there, and they big cheer comes up, and we were like, oh, hey, cool, thanks, you know. And then we look around, and it was actually you were coming out the arena behind us. It was for you that they loved you before what happened in game 5, and now of course you're absolute legend of Sydney Kings basketball. Talk us through what happened that night. We're gonna talk about the whole series, and not just you, the team, and the secret to Sydney's success overall. But coming out of the grand final series, that one of the big stories was your performance. Now, I know you're going to downplay how you were feeling. Xavier Cooks, when we spoke to him post-game after the championship was won, downplayed how he was feeling over the course of the series. I know you're going to do the same. But you were clearly in great discomfort. Tell me firstly about what was happening for you. You got the rib issue. My understanding is like that your abs were spasming as well. What did you cop earlier in the game? Andrew Gaze picked it up at halftime. He's like, hey, Angus Glover's not right.
Yeah, no, I think it was I went for a layup and Brantley walled up really, really well. And I must have caught some part of his body right on the spot. Kind of felt it from there on. And I was okay. And then, halftime came and I was starting to cough and wince a fair bit. Wasn't feeling too well at all. Struggling to breathe a bit. What happened was I damaged a bit of cartilage that connects the rib to the sternum. And then on top of that, what was the main discomfort was the ab. Basically that was running over the top of it. It was spasming real bad. So my most comfortable position was actually being hunched forward and where the ab was, because it's the top ab. So I was struggling to breathe through my chest because every time I do that, it would stretch. And same for my stomach every time I try and breathe. So, yeah, it was difficult. But, I've played through worse. It probably looked worse than what it was. But, in all seriousness, it was more just I couldn't stand up because of that spasm. Nice to know that it's not broken like some people were saying. I knew it wasn't broken from the outset. Probably sounds obviously a lot worse. I guess it is what it is. And
must have just felt weird though, right? Like you knew you've got, like you took the hit to the ribs. Okay, I've got sore ribs. But then what was happening there with your abs and the impact that was having on your breathing? Like we saw when you, Drew picked it up then, but when you then checked back into the game midway through the fourth quarter and it was free throws were taking place and you came out and you were hunched over grabbing your shorts, it wasn't because you were tired. It was because standing up straight wasn't comfortable and it looked a little like you were a bit distressed. Like what were the thoughts going through your mind at that moment? Like, I've told coach I'm good to go. He's thrown me back out here. Am I really going to be able to do this?
Yeah, like that never really crossed my mind. I think the worst thing was the fact that there was a timeout after that, and I think it was Tim or DJ or someone hit me straight on the spot when I'm sitting down trying to breathe, and that just made it 10 times worse. But everyone knows what a cramp feels like, and like it just felt like that really in my ab. And just struggled. And but at the end of the day, I just wanted to be out there and try and will my way to the end. And it felt a lot better straight away afterwards, more because I wasn't getting the contact on it, and I could finally stretch it out and get it in a position where it was feeling okay. And then once this ab stopped spasming, it wasn't too bad. During the game, I just had to grip my teeth and keep going.
But man, what a crazy course of events. Like for a basketball lifer that's been through the ringer over the years, then in that massive moment, late in the fourth quarter of a fifth game of a championship series, you're out there, you're hurt. And then for what happened, like the miss off the side of the backboard, like it's almost like it's a horrible miss, but it's like the perfect miss. It bounces straight back to you. And you talk about willing yourself to have an impact. You then willed yourself onto the rim through the traffic along the baseline. The rebound that where you took the hit and you're on the hardwood and then you hit the three. Like, have you been back and watched that period of time? And what are your memories of those kind of few plays?
Yeah, no, I've obviously watched the whole game back. I've been asked a lot of questions about the side of the backboard and then rebound dunk. I like to say that I knew what I was doing, but definitely not. Obviously Barry Brown gave me a really hard closeout with like 2 seconds on the shot clock, so I just double clutch, chucked it up there. yeah, saw it come back to me. Felt slow motion, honestly, the ball coming back. Felt like I had a fair bit of time, and yeah, just came back and thought I had to go up because there was about three breakers guys straight in the key, so I didn't really have a choice to try and just go over the top if I could. And I guess we all know how that ended. And then I think next play down, Derek found me open at the top of the key, and Derek always tells me to just keep shooting the ball, so I just had the confidence, and I knew all the work I've put in that it was going to go down. I just felt like in that moment, I had a lot of trainings throughout the year where I'd hit some shots at the end of a training and things like that. So I just thought it was always going in, really, just had that mindset.
Enormous shot. Went all of a sudden from a 7-point deficit, it's a 2-point game, timeout. You guys have all the momentum. It was the start of the 14-0 run. And the reason why Walton Jr. keeps telling you to shoot, mate, is because you're lights out. Now, I remember your first NBL minutes, and I'm pretty sure you hit two threes in that first game. Is that right, from the corner?
I think so, yeah.
Was it maybe your second game?
Whatever it was,
for the Hawks, bang, bang. And the stroke has always been pure. I remember, like, I wrote a couple of years ago, I tweeted this out the other day, you know, you had a season there as your last at the Hawks, or you're 30% from three or something, and I'm like, no, way better shooter than that. And this season, 45% from three over the regular season, top five in the league amongst guys that shot 25 or more attempts. And then in the grand final series, mate, 56% from three, 10 of 18 overall. Talk me through that the work that has been done over the last couple of years on the stroke.
Yeah, I'll rewind it to that, my last year in Wollongong. I think I was like 0-30 or something ridiculous to start the season shooting the three, and I just felt really rushed. I didn't really take my time on the shot. And then second half of the year, I realized I can slow down and actually take my time, and still had plenty of time to get the ball up, and made a drastic improvement that year. And then moving to Sydney, I worked a lot with Kevlish. On just tweaking little things, like bringing the ball a bit closer to my body, and instead of slingshotting it a bit, I tend to do sometimes when I miss short. So we worked on that, worked on getting my arc up a little bit higher, which has been a bit of a process over the 2 years. And I think last year, after the final series, I think allowing time off with the bone bruise I had in my knee during the off season, I really worked on that arc stuff just around the rim. And as I got healthy again, I started moving back out at the three-point line, and I saw a massive difference. And I think, like, I've always been able to shoot the ball as a junior and everything, but I think just making little tweaks throughout over the years has really helped me. And I think I've had plenty of confidence this year coming in shooting the ball. And everyone knows my strength really is getting on the rim and getting by guys. But now, shooting the ball the way I'm shooting it, I feel like I can try and be like a three-level scorer a bit. Just trying to be aggressive. Chase told me to go out and be aggressive basically when I came on. And that's what I tried to do.
What's next? What's the next skill set? Is it the handles? What's the focus over the course of this offseason?
Yeah, I think a big thing for me is I'm pretty good at obviously the catch and shoot, but I want to add some moves into my threes or pull-ups or getting on the rim. I'm a pretty straight line driver. And don't get me wrong, we have Derek Walton, so I don't need to dribble the ball to shoot a three. I just find the right spot and he'll hit me, or Xavier will hit me, whoever it was. I think just adding in that next step of being able to shoot the ball pretty well off the dribble, and not necessarily like just the one bounce escapes, like they're pretty standstill shots working on that. And then I think another thing is too, adding in a bit of playmaking at the rim. Normally I'm always there to finish, but trying to get others involved a bit more, I think going forward we'll just take my game to another level.
What have you mapped out for yourself as kind of goals over this next period of time, like you've been ticking some big things off in recent times in terms of just staying healthy, getting back, playing up to a level that you want to, being a back-to-back champion now, performing like you just did in the ground. You have double digits over the course of a five-game championship series. Got a whole bunch of votes in terms of Larry Sengstock medal and the like. What do you want to do next?
I think hopefully summer league over the next couple of years, I think is a good step. And I know that's going to be hard to crack, but I think I can do it if I continue to put in the work and continue to get better. And I think just that's definitely one of the goals. And obviously every Australian's goal is to put on the Boomers jersey. Like I've obviously done that before, but I want to do it at an Olympic Games or a World Championships. And I know that's obviously going to be extremely hard, but I just want to keep putting in the work and get to a camp even and just continue to see where I'm at. Those two are the main things. And then coming into next year, just continue to be aggressive and take my game to another level across the board, really.
Love it. Hey, referred earlier about asking you, you know, the secret to Sydney's success. Like, it's such a silly question because there's so much that goes on and goes into doing what you guys have done, you know, what Paul and the ownership group do on a regular basis and have done to build the organization. Chase's impact, Chris Pongrass, the basketball IQ that he brings and the savvy that he brings to the table in terms of putting the roster together, identifying talent, the right types of people, making it all work in the salary cap, and then the players. But if you had to try to pinpoint one thing as an organization that you guys have done and do really well that has resulted in this level of success on and off the floor, what would you point towards?
I think it starts obviously at the top with our ownership group and Chris Pongrass, but I think the willingness of them trying to push guys to get to the NBA, but also our coaching staff and the players we have want to come in and get to that next level, whether it's a Europe or an NBA deal. And I think there's been five guys in 4 or 5 years from Sydney go to the NBA and a bunch of other guys go to Europe and earn high level money. So I really think we're a platform here. A lot of times I think you see teams that are platforms that don't win championships. We've been able to be a platform for guys to go earn more money overseas or make the NBA. But we've also won championships at the same time doing that or competed for them as well before the back-to-back championships. So, yeah, I really think that I think everyone from the top, if you come in here, they all want to help you. Like you can ask Bogues, Luke Longley, you can ask any of them questions about what it takes. Chris, same thing. Obviously, Chase, everyone talks about how we can improve to try and get to that next level. And I think that sets us a bit different to everyone else, I think.
That's cool. Speaking about getting to the next level, Zave, over these last few days, man, like you talked about being back to growing up with him in Wollongong and making the journey into the big smoke together, winning championships together, embracing at the moment when you won the title again. But to see him now this week with the logo on his jersey out there achieving his dream in that regard, like what's that been like for you?
Yeah, really cool. I sent him a message the night before game five, like this long text. And then Zave's not very an emotional person, but he'll hate me saying this, but he replied and then the next day at shoot around, he said he got pretty emotional just reading what I sent to him. And then what he sent back, same thing. I was emotional. Like we knew it was going to be our last time playing together, at least for a while. Just to see him finally put on that jersey and is pretty cool. And I mean, I've watched every game I can, or watched highlights and everything like that. And plenty of Obviously, he's done plenty of media at the moment, being new over there. So following up with that on Twitter or whatever it is, and still speaks fast, man. In an interview, he loves to speak fast, but you know what? He knows I'll give him a bit of stick for that. But full credit to him just to see the work he puts in every day at training. Just willingness to get better, willingness to help other people though as well, I think is a big thing. He wasn't someone that only cared about himself. He wanted to drag everyone else along with him for the ride in terms of, all right, I'm getting better, let's pick up your game or whatever it is. Like he'll try and help guys where he could over the 2 years, or over the 3 years really. But just to see him finally have that Wizards across his chest, I know he's going to be a successful NBA player, that's for sure.
Massive holder fill for you guys.
Yeah.
On and off the floor.
Yeah. I think the big thing is, though, we've got the best in the business that know how to find talent and know how to find guys that fit our culture. And we'll see what comes from it, but I know we'll find the right fit.
And you're going to have the budget to be in the mix in those conversations, unless you took all the cash. You know, we'll see how that plays out. Hey, just to finish up, man, NBL 1, you're going to come down and hoop with the Eltham Wildcats. I mean, I pity the teams that have to lace them up against you after watching what you just did in that NBL Championship Series. But NBL 1 with the Wildcats, NBL 1 South, what are you going to spend time with Kira down here, which is cool because the season is full on and you don't get to spend as much of that quality time. But what are you hoping to get out of lace them up with Eltham?
Yeah, like I said to you before about things I want to work on is, I think NBL 1 for a lot of guys and the WNBL women as well, is NBL 1 is where we work on our craft and try a couple new things here and there. And I'll come in trying to work on a bit more off the bounce stuff, my playmaking. And I guess another thing, the funny thing is, we're actually really young. Like, I'm actually one of the old heads on the team. So trying to be a bit more of a leader as well. I'm not too fussed about numbers or anything. I really don't care. I just want to win and be known as a winner wherever I go. And I feel like we've got a pretty good group to do that, playing with Owen Foxwell and Callum Dalton, who are NBL guys as well, and Stan Short, who's the next NBL guy. So we've got a pretty good roster, but I think a big thing I really want to do is work on those things I said, and the rest will take care of itself.
Fun squad. Very fun squad you guys are going to have. And I tell you, if DJ laces them up for Diamond Valley again for a couple of games, and if that happens to correlate between when Eltham played Diamond Valley, who are arch rivals in the northeastern suburbs here in Melbourne, I'm coming to that game.
Yep, I like it. Now, there'll be plenty of trash talk going on, that's for sure. DJ and I are boys, and it's going to be funny if we end up playing against each other, because we've obviously played with each other for so long now. And it'll be definitely weird playing juniors together as well, and coming up through the seniors playing together. So, yeah, we're definitely weird playing against DJ. But, if it happens, it happens. And I'm sure if he's not playing, he'll probably be talking some trash from the sidelines anyway.
I suspect so. Hey, mate, thanks for the chat. Congrats on the championship back-to-back. Congrats on the new deal. Congrats on just how you've been playing. And thanks for squeezing us in. I know you're kind of packing up the house and trying to get ready for the move back to Melbourne, but great to chop it up and all the best for the off season and moving forward, man.
No worries. Thanks for having me, mate.
Cheers.